Hello, it's Andrew Epanov from Data Music and Wispin, and you are listening to the Jazz Spotlights with Jan Ilunga.
Episode 62.
Welcome to the Jazz Spotlight, the podcast that gives you the insight and tools you need to be in the music industry today. Artists, authors, and top music industry experts give you actionable tips that will help you promote yourself the smart way. Here's your host, Jan Ilunga.
Hey, everybody. Happy Thursday. How's it going? Jan Ilunga here from the Jazz Spotlight podcast with another great episode. And this is the 62nd episode already. Woo, time really flies when you're having fun. And thank you for tuning in today, for being here with me. And I'm sure you're going to love this one. And look, if you're a musician, you really need to listen to this episode. Really, you are in the right place. And if you know someone who could benefit from learning more about fan engagement, you got to share the link, thejazzspotlight.com/episode62 with them, because there is so much value in this episode that I'm sure it's going to be one of your favorite ones. And as I said, today we talk about fan engagement. So everyone wants to have fans, everyone wants to have more and more fans, which is great. But engagement, it's really a key component of every fan base and or every audience, because sure, you want to have a big audience, but you also want it to be engaged, to take action when you ask for. And the action, you know, can be a tweet, can be a share, can be coming to your concerts, can be buy your new EP, whatever it is. You want your audience to be engaged. And my guest today is someone that is really passionate about fan engagement. In fact, he has recently launched a free online course called Fan Engagement Faculty, and I can personally vouch for the course. He's great. I've signed up for the one that started in January, and I've been really amazed. And guys, if you want to sign up for it, go to thejazzspotlight.com/engagement. You will be redirected to the page where you can reserve your spot for the next fan engagement faculty, which will start in February. So make sure again to go to thejazzspotlight.com/engagement to sign up for that course. And my guest today is the founder of Dotted Music and Wispin, Andrew Epanov. And he's going to tell us more about all the projects he's involved in, and he's going to share some great insights on fan engagement, so how to engage your fan base. He's going to tell us also about some tools we can use to, you know, grow our fan base, engage with it, both online and offline. Like always, all the links to everything Andrew and I mentioned in this episode are at thejazzspotlight.com/episode62. Here is Fan Engagement with Andrew Epanov. Have fun. Hey everyone, I'm here with another incredible guest here on the podcast, and he's gonna tell us something that is really useful for each and every one of you. If you're a musician, you don't want to miss this episode, because today we're gonna talk about fan engagement. So we're gonna talk about the ways you can engage your fan base, and hopefully you can also grow your fan base. And my guest today is the founder of Dotted Music, and he's also the host, he's a fellow podcaster, he's the host of Wispin Recipe Podcast, and he's going to tell us more about the great things he and the people at Dotted Music do, as well as a new course that they have coming up. It's with great pleasure that I welcome on the show Andrew Epanov. Hey Andrew, how's it going?
Hello, doing great. How are you, Jan?
I'm great, and I'm so pumped about having you here on the podcast. And first of all, thanks for being here.
Thank you for inviting me in the first place.
All right. I know that you are a fellow podcaster, so usually it's you who interviews guests, but I'm sure you're going to do just great. And I gave a short intro. You're a very busy man. You're involved with Dotted Music, with Wispin, and so many other great projects. Can you tell the listeners just a little bit more about yourself and, you know, Dotted Music and Wispin?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really cool to be a guest on the podcast. I actually love to talk. So if I'm so long-winded, you tell me. But anyway, so yeah, a bit of my background just to give kind of a context to those who haven't ever heard of me. Currently, I run the Dotted Music marketing agency. We started as a blog about music marketing and industry, and it's still a blog, but we also serve music companies and mainly musicians, music labels, management companies, and so on. Digital marketing, design, and so on, and things related to online marketing. Mm-hmm. And besides that, I and my team also run Wispin, which is a music marketing training and community, currently mainly focusing on electronic music, but welcoming artists from different genres. It's like a membership platform where you get access to video and text tutorials about branding and marketing and music business and so on. It's been around for just less than 2 years, so it's a new project, but we spend lots of time and efforts on that. And yeah, before that, I was an editor and editor-in-chief of Ultimate Guitar for around 7 years. It's a big guitar website, basically one of the biggest in terms of traffic. And yeah, I was involved in different things. I've been DJing myself, mm-hmm. doing live events in my hometown around 5 or 6 years ago, and consulting artists and doing different kind of things related to music. So I'm really happy to be able to work with musicians on a daily basis and being a part of the music industry.
A very busy man whose bread and butter is music, but you know, it's great all the things you just told us about. And we mentioned Dotted Music, you talked to us about Ultimate Guitar, your previous experience with Ultimate Guitar, you mentioned Wispin, and you have the Wispin Recipes podcast. Can you tell the listeners a couple of things about that podcast, because it's a very cool podcast?
Thank you. And just like yours, I mean, it's something that I've been thinking about, and I even started a podcast, not so that many people know, but 2 years ago, I tried running a podcast. It didn't work out, and I was not ready for that at all. And so something like half an hour ago, probably more than half an hour ago, last year, I started this podcast with the aim to provide practical advice on marketing from the experts. So I try to invite interesting people on the podcast who can share some tips and things that can be applied to one's music career, to the listener's music career. So it's not a brand new concept, let's say, but I do my best to make these episodes actionable. We've had a number of really great guests, including Jack Conti and the founder of Fame House and so on. So yeah, it's something that I enjoy, but as you may know very well, it requires lots of time and dedication to deliver weekly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoy it a lot.
Yeah, that's great to hear that, you know, one can really tell by listening to any of the episodes of Wispin Recipes podcast that you're having fun. And sure, the model is maybe kind of not groundbreaking, same as my podcast is not kind of a groundbreaking model, but we are all for providing artists and people in the music industry with great actionable tips. So that's what matters at the end of the day. And guys, a quick note, like always, you find the links to everything Andrew and I talk about in the show notes. So in case you missed some of the companies we have mentioned, or you know, you're looking for the link to the Wispin Recipes podcast, you will find everything in the show notes. All right, Andrew, let's talk about today's content, about fan engagement. Obviously, everyone wants to have fans. Everyone wants to have more and more fans. And it's difficult to kind of give tips in the sense that everyone has, you know, different target audience, wants to achieve different things. But in terms of building and growing a fan base, what do you think? What do you think are some of the things musicians can do in 2015?
Yeah, I will be glad to reply this question and just a couple notes on this course and why I started it, because it's actually there was a very specific reason why I decided to do this kind of a free course, email based and so on. Throughout several years, I've been actively showing musicians how to do things on social media via consultations and so on, and I think I was generally like I'm pretty successful in showing how to use a particular network or a tool. But the problem that I've seen, and this is something I didn't expect, so I didn't know about this problem 2 or 3 years ago, is that even if someone, a musician, learns how to do a particular thing, when we, for example, stop working together or I stop reminding about these things, they oftentimes just don't act on their knowledge and they don't repeat these steps and they don't do the work. So I discovered, and actually, I think this is the first time why when I revealed the whole idea behind this free course. What I try to do is to show a very like super specific things and steps and actions that musicians can make to get more engagement and get new followers and so on throughout a month. So they some of the participants get used to doing this on an ongoing basis and learn this habit of delivering the content. I think it's a lot about being consistent and persistent and constantly getting better at the type of content that you deliver. So this is a problem that many musicians have. They can do something cool once, but it doesn't work
over a long time.
This way. It's not, it's just not effective. You need to deliver sheep consistently to see the results. And this is one of the ideas. I try to not talk about theory, although I love these topics and just explaining how things should work. But in this course, I try to focus on the actions with the idea. I don't know even if it will work or not. This is the first version of the course. I will be modifying it the next time when we relaunch it later. Basically, I hope that some of the participants, some of the musicians will understand that it's the process, so they will know what steps to repeat on a daily basis. Not sure if it makes sense, but this is one of the key things I think for the new year as well, for artists to try to get better at it, to learn these habits of communicating with fans, of creating interesting content. There are numerous tools and tactics on how to do it with pleasure, not spending a ton of time. It's possible to organize yourself, so it's not a rocket science that you can do a lot of things without hiring marketing agencies, for example. There is a lot you can do yourself. And really, social media is not that difficult. It's just about being persistent there. So this is one of the key points, I think. But yeah, of course, being aware of the latest trends and what works on social media, you don't have to follow all the little thingies about, I know, Facebook algorithm changes or whatever, but just understanding how things work on different social networks and knowing how to speak and how to act on different platforms is very important. And also something that is a bit different from how it looked like, at least to me, several years ago, is that right now, with the increased amount of social networks, I think it's more important than ever to focus on just very selected ones at a time. So 1-2 network at a time, get really good there, build an audience, then consider moving to the next one. So it's also very important. You have to be everywhere, but being active, really building an engaged audience on just 1 or 2 social networks at a time will bring much better results. Yeah, so I can go on. Do you have any specific questions related to this area?
Yeah, actually, I just want to give a note to the people who are listening to Andrew and I. Andrew talked about his new course, Fan Engagement Faculty, and I signed up for it. It launched couple of weeks ago, and it's so far it's been great. And in case you missed it, guys, you don't have to worry, because Andrew and his team are gonna launch a new fan engagement faculty in a few weeks in February. So if you want to learn more about the course, we will hear more about it from Andrew in this episode. But also, if you want to learn more about it later on, or you want to reserve your spot for the upcoming version of Fan Engagement Faculty again in February, you can find more info at thejetspotlight.com/engagement. And the question I have, kind of to comment on what you have and then ask you a question, is you wrote some very great points in terms of really focusing on one platform, start to build kind of the audience there, become an expert in a way in promoting yourself on the platform without being too spammy, and then moving to another one. So like you said, obviously you guys want to be everywhere, but you want to be everywhere the smart way. So it's better to focus on one social media at the time rather than trying to be on 10 at the same time and then not really doing much on either, like on either platform.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
Obviously the musicians, you know, have different tastes, different, you know, fan bases and what's not. But in terms of social media and promotion tools, what is there one that you, or a couple that you really think are must-haves for musicians? Or
you're right that all artists are different. There are specifics in terms of audiences, and depending on the market, on the music genre, and just what works for a specific mm-hmm. artist. So we will never ever push someone who hates doing photos of visual content to use Instagram, for example, in the agency. So it's individual. Still, I think that saying that I will not be on this network, it doesn't work for me, and so on, without actually trying to eat at least for a week or two is not quite right. So I recommend everyone to do Twitter, because most of the artists are, like, the absolute majority of artists are on Facebook already, but it becomes more and more difficult to build an audience there with whom you can engage with any restrictions, let's say, without paying to Facebook. It becomes difficult, so I always recommend looking into Twitter. If you understand how to approach it properly and how to use it, you can see that you can get some great results even with relatively smaller audience. Instagram is great for content creation. I always recommend it to create great content, even if you don't plan to build a big following on Instagram itself, because it's obviously a social network. You can use it to create great visual content for Facebook, Twitter, maybe Pinterest. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you use it, and so on. So Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and SoundCloud for audio are usually the ones that I recommend the most. Obviously YouTube, but there are also exceptions. Because if you don't produce, and if you're not going to produce any video content, that's it, just not something that you are interested in. But of course, YouTube is effective. But once again, I cannot imagine that for every artist listening to your show, it will be like they will need all these five networks at the same time, at the same pace, and they will have to be active there. So it's nothing new. These are the major networks. There is a lot of more niche social networks, and it's great if you can find one that has your target audience and do something interesting there with the messaging apps, with some like with things like Vine and so on. But yeah, definitely I recommend you trying out Twitter if you haven't yet. If you think that you just don't get it, you should give it a try again, because it can be extremely powerful.
I love it. And yeah, like you said, obviously, you know, everyone should kind of try each platform out to see which one works the best for them. And you mentioned Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud. I mean, like, Twitter, we talked about it before on the podcast, for example. About Twitter, we talked on episode 53 with Madeline Sklar. And Instagram, we talked about it on episode 51 with Sue B. Zimmerman. So guys, if you want to learn more about how you can leverage those platforms to whether promote your music, or if you're already promoting your music, about you want to learn some new tricks on how to do that the smarter way, or by saving time, or some other tips and tricks, you definitely should check those two episodes out. Love it, love it, love it. And if one thinks about his or her own fan base, and or let's say, for example, a musician is about to graduate from music school, so want to embark in a music career and wants to start building an audience, what do you think are the first things to keep in mind as a musician when thinking about, you know, building a fan base?
Starting as soon as possible in the first place, because this is the biggest mistake that artists make, waiting till there is this perfectly mixed and mastered song on an EP or an album, whatever, and just not starting to be active on social media as soon as possible. So you can have one song, even a demo of a song potentially, to start doing something and building your brand, because it all takes a lot of time. Obviously, you need the content which is your music. So you obviously have to create and deliver on a constant basis, but starting as soon as possible is important. And thinking on how to showcase yourself, one of the main things about social media is treating them as publishing platforms. It's not a promotional platform, let's say social media. It's not about just pushing your stuff and talking about what you created. It sounds just so obvious to me that it's even bizarre to say that, but still, like if you go to any social network and look into what artists do there, it's a lot about just talking about themselves. So I will never stop mentioning this, and that's why so many other marketers in the music business talk about these things. You should not talk just about what you deliver. Like, I don't know, if you think of yourself as someone running a TV channel or a magazine, for example, would you be reading something that talks just about themselves or just places ads in the publication? I bet that you will not be that interested in such a TV channel, for example, or a magazine or a website. So your social media accounts are designed to engage, to entertain, to educate, and you can showcase who you are. So people who follow artists, they are interested in much more than just the music most of the times. Even if they do not confess, they are interested in the personalities, they are interested in the whole thing related to these artists and the context of the songs or tracks, the visuals, the artworks, the photos of the artist, and the story of the artist, and what things the artist stands for, and the hobbies potentially. So something that we do at Data Music as the agency is what we call, and we obviously haven't come up with this term ourselves, it's niche marketing. So trying to find different niches that are not related to music directly and using them in the marketing campaign. It's been working really well, and it's something that I recommend to everyone, because every single artist has an interesting story to tell. You can always pick a cool interest, something that is not directly related to music, but that you can be showing and sharing with others. And you can start practicing with these things when you don't have following, basically. When you've got just several fans, you just start out, you should not wait till you've got X amount of fans or X amount of songs to start being active on social media. Most probably by that time you will be doing it badly if you don't have experience in this. So we don't burn as native social media users. Only few people get it straight away. Most of the people, even us marketers, I'm pretty sure it relates to just many professionals in the social media area. You just need to learn how to, you need to build your voice. You need to learn how to better share stuff on social media, what kind of content to create, how to craft your emails, blog posts, and so on. It all takes time. So you better start practicing as soon as possible, even before you have a lot of fans or music, even when you don't have get a lot of comments, let's say. Starting as soon as possible is crucial.
Yeah, it's very true what you said. That, you know, you guys should start as soon as possible. Obviously, as Andrew said, yeah, sure, the music is the kind of, you know, the core element of your career. So it's important to have a couple of tracks available, but that shouldn't hold you back from start using the various platforms, start building your brand, your voice online. And I really like the strategy you mentioned of choosing a couple of niche markets and try to kind of, you know, enter that market and build your audience there. So to kind of build a series of mini audiences, if we can call them like that, in different industries or niches that are not music related. I love them. And also it's important, like you told us, like, sure, guys, you should use social media as platform to promote yourself, but that shouldn't be your only goal. So if one looks at your, for example, Twitter timeline or Twitter stream, your tweets should also talk about other things than yourself and your latest track or your upcoming gig. So you should try to find, for example, interesting music business blogs, for example, that you know that other artists could benefit from their information, or interesting podcasts like Whispin Recipes podcasts, or I don't know, if you're interested in hiking, then try to build your brand so that you attract people that, sure, they will love you for your music, but they might love you also because you are a great content curator of other industries or niche markets that are not strictly related to music. I'm loving this. And obviously, as the title of your course suggests, fan engagement faculty, fan base and engagement are really the focus of the course. And I know that it's a long course, and obviously you can't be here on the podcast for 10 hours to tell us everything there is to know about fan engagement. But if you were to give the listeners a couple of tips of, you know, kind of a fan engagement 101, what would you tell?
Yeah, I would love to do some kind of an audio version of the course here on the podcast, but yes, yeah, it would take a while. By the way, I'm not fully prepared to answer this question. I don't have a list of things, but I think I can mention you very specific things that should make sense. First of all, you need to master the basics functions of the social networks. You need to know how to post a tweet that it generates more click throughs, for example. It's not that difficult. Just post 2-3 words, then the link, then add something else. So put the link in the middle. Don't start your tweets with the mention of the name if you want all your followers to see this tweet, because it will be either. So these kind of basic things are important. On Facebook as well, learn how the previews of the links look like, so you don't have to pass bulky URLs in your post so it looks ugly. These kind of things, these are just fundamentals, but they are very important. They affect how many people act on your content. So just understanding the basics of social networks without any third-party tools is very important. And on Facebook, it's a great example because it's actually something that I'm going to cover in the next lesson, scheduling posts. So working on creating content in bulk and then scheduling it so something is posted in the future. The second point, obviously, is learning to just as you mentioned, curate the content and finding interesting content relating to your interests and speaking to your fan who you want to target. So not just a fan of your musical genre, but also the same interests as you have, and it means just browsing the web, following other social media accounts, reading blogs, finding cool content, and learning to actually get the most interesting posts, for example, or images or videos, and posting them with your personal commentary. This is very important that you provide your feedback and personalize what you find. And using third-party tools, of course. So for social media, it's important to use the right tools. I use and test just a ton of them. It may be an overkill for every musician, but just having the basics covered, for example, social media management platform like Hootsuite, Just Go, a platform that just created for musicians specifically, and the likes, they are great to manage mainly Twitter accounts, but not only. You can also schedule posts and see tweets just from specific lists and so on, so it helps a lot. And looking into other platforms that may help you and save you time to create great content, it's just really, really important and can be saving you a ton of time. You don't have to spend a lot of money on freelancers, for example, because you've got tools for creating beautiful images or just so doing some cross promotion, automation, or things like that. And you shouldn't be scaring your fans away with your self-made graphics, because if you're not a designer, my personal advice, like, just uninstall Photoshop and better don't do the graphics if you're bad at it. So visual content to me is super important, and I think that for artists who are not very good at design, they better either outsource or use one of the many tools that exist out there that help create good looking graphics. These are just few of the basic directions, but they may help a lot, because when you have a system in place where you know how to use the platforms, where you know where to get interesting content, and you do it almost like automatically while enjoying the whole process. I spent 15 minutes in the morning while drinking my coffee to read new articles in Feedly. And during that process, I distribute the posts that I like to Twitter directly, sent to Buffer, which is another great tool for scheduling posts in the future, to Hootsuite, sent to other team members and so on. So it's just enjoying the articles that I read, but at the same time, I complete a lot of tasks while doing this because I use the right tools. Yeah, so I'm not sure if it's...
It's definitely... you covered a lot of ground, and I think you really nailed it for the listeners, because you really talked about the importance of having a system in place, so some kind of strategy, and you mentioned about tools. You mentioned Hootsuite, you mentioned Buffer, for example, that can really help you guys kind of automate your promotion efforts and the way you kind of interact with your fan base, how you engage them. I love it. And it's something, to some extent, we've talked about on episode 7, where there was saxophonist Ezra Brown, where he talked about how he promotes himself when he's touring the world just with his smartphone. So he has a system in place similar to what you have just described, so that, you know, kind of, for example, when it comes to promoting upcoming dates, those he has already scheduled in advance, so that kind of what he puts into the system is, for example, latest pictures or interesting posts that he has seen somewhere else. So things, like you said, that one can do while having coffee, or, you know, when you take a break from playing or whatever. And it's something that literally can take 10, 15 minutes, like you, Andrew, like you said. It's not that he has to be 5 hours a day. And it's the same way I do that. I have most of the content that I know that I want to share planned, so with Hootsuite and Buffer. And then there is content that maybe when I check Twitter, like you said, or Feedly, like you said, actually, and I see something interesting, then I add that to the kind of content of the day or of the week. So I think you really touched on a lot of good points, and you also mentioned a couple of great tools that can really help putting this kind of automatic system in place. And let's talk a little bit about engagement, not only online, but also offline. So when, for example, when musicians have a gig, do you have any tips on how they can interact with their audience and how they can, for example, connect the dots between the offline world and online world? So, for example, how they can make people sign up for their newsletter, or, you know, follow them on Twitter or on Instagram.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, one thing that I want to mention, although I've been talking a lot about the content creation, and yeah, the tips that you just mentioned perfectly make sense. By the way, the system with using mobile phone and so on, it's great. And so this is something that just all artists who are performing and touring especially should be using. But it's also about communication, obviously. That's why we use these tools, because they help respond to fans' comments and some feedback from influencers, from industry specialists and so on, online. So it's, of course, not just about putting your stuff out there and just not acting on it anyhow. So this is very important to communicate. And when it comes to offline world and things like a tour or just shows and gigs, there is a number of interesting ways to connect the two worlds. Some of them may be very familiar to you, but some I hope that I may give you some new ideas. The number one thing, of course, is building the list. So it's something that is obvious to many. And although I talk about social media lately a lot, I still consider email lists one of the most powerful channels, especially when it comes down to sales. So when you are ready to actually start selling, so you've got an audience that you can monetize, audience engaged enough and big enough, let's say, then email is the place to do it. So it's not exactly Facebook and so on, because sales happen via email if you do it right. And it's difficult. I've seen it many times when I tell a band, for example, to build an email list on a show, but they end up with just 5 emails because they were busy doing something while there were other 100 people or just several hundred people on the show. And I fully understand that. But just if you can have someone who will be helping you with the process during your performance, or if you have a merch table and you can do something cool, like you can put an iPad, a tablet with an app from MailChimp or whatever. I think Noistrate has their own mobile app for tablets. And collect via an app. It's usually a bit more interactive. You can give away music, so you can promise to send something digitally or give a sticker or a button right at the merch table in exchange for email address. And there is one way to use this list, because these are not just the emails. These are emails from people who have heard you live, and if they left their email address, most probably they are really interested in you. So it's of a much higher value. And One of the things is that you may not sell all the t-shirts, for example, merchandise items that you would like to mm-hmm. on the show, but there can be a number of reasons for that. It's not always because you had a bad product and people just didn't want it. So how about building a list, even giving something away, like physical stickers that don't cost a lot to produce, and having a list of, I don't know, 50 people who left their contact information, and the next morning, and you can have someone who may be helping you, who is not with you on the tour, but at home or office and doing this for you, or you can do it yourself as well. You can send an email and the next morning just to this list, thanking them for coming to the show and sharing a photo from Instagram for with the crowds mm-hmm. or something like that, and offering a 40% discount on the t-shirt from the online store. So the same t-shirt, but maybe an extra design that is available only on the online store, and saying something like, if you didn't have a chance or didn't have money to spend on the t-shirt, you can do it right here on the online store. Of course, make the discounts make sense to you, obviously. But while it will be really kind of hard, so people will be, most of the people who go to events, they don't expect to get an email from the band they listen to the next morning, and which look personalized and so on. So it may actually help you drive some sales online, and you can implement such systems throughout your tour or your shows in your hometown, and help people perform some actions online after the show and so on. Promoting hashtags for the same reason is very effective. If you actively promote one hashtag with the name of you yourself as an artist or a band or a DJ or whatever, you can, for example, can highlight some of the posts with that hashtag mm-hmm. on a constant basis, and you can announce from the stage that like encourage people to post content on social networks with this hashtag, that you will be highlighting some of the people, that you will be posting them the photos and the post in a special gallery on your website, and that you will be sending a prize to one randomly picked participant on this contest once a month, for something like that. There is a number of ways to integrate these things. Just if you keep it simple, we've seen that anything complicated doesn't work too well, obviously. But if you keep it simple, if you have the signs with this hashtag that you want to promote on different places, on your banners and t-shirts and so on, if you remind about this from the stage, if you make it clear what can be done at the merch table, if you proactively collect the email addresses, you can do lots of cool things after your shows, because otherwise you lose contact with these people. Mm-hmm. If the opted in on a Facebook event, it's good, but most probably the conversion rate from your post about a t-shirt sale in a Facebook event will not be high. But with an email, personalized email address, email message sent to someone who was there, it would be different. So things like that. Of course, you can be more creative here and keep coming with other ideas, but there is always a way to connect offline and online.
Love it, man. You have given out so much advice, so many incredible tips, and you're right, people should keep it simple. But already the couple of examples you have made, so the one of, you know, giving something physical in exchange of the email list at the concert, like for example at the merch table, with an app, like you said, can be from MailChimp or from Aweber. If you guys have a tablet, it's perfect that while you are at the merch table, maybe you're signing copies of your CDs or you're talking with people, you can definitely invite them to sign up for your email list. And then you also talked about the personalized or customized hashtags and kind of how to kind of motivate people into being active, and then, you know, by highlighting some of the people in maybe a special section of your website. I love it. I really love it, Andrew. And kind of the last maybe question I have to ask you about fan engagement here. It's obviously you have worked with a lot of musician, so you have seen different kind of content. And I wanted to ask you, what kind of content you have seen that, you think has worked very well in terms of boosting the engagement with a fan base? Do you have a couple of examples to give to the audience?
Yeah, definitely. First of all, it's still something that relates to the artist. Mm-hmm. So it can be a preview of a new music video. Usually it performs better than the actual video. oftentimes, let's say, because it's short and actionable. And so video previews of any kind work great. And even audio previews and something that makes people wait for something and teasers of different kinds, they work just great. So it's pretty obvious, but of course you need to keep this in mind. When you've got a release, always try to break it down into as many little items that you can post separately as possible. There is a cover artwork, the title, the story, the lyrics, the any kind of teasers, video, audio, and so on. And you can always, you need to try to come up with interesting ways to redistribute the same content mm-hmm. before it's out and after it's released. So once you've got a new single out, you can actually keep posting interesting visuals with quotes from the song, if it's a song, or with some interesting stories behind related to the song, or with feedback of people and so on. So even after something is released, you can stretch it. So this is very important. But obviously, there are different types of content that are not related to the music that you create, and anything controversial is good. So in keeping it within some limits, I guess, because it will not work for every artist to be very controversial all the time. But generally speaking, when you express your opinion sincerely about something, you shouldn't be afraid to be disliked by some, mm-hmm. because your goal is to resonate with the people who share the same views, values, and interests as you. So being controversial is important, and being more specific, I would say that things related to yourself as an artist can be great. So let me explain. Even for fans expect you to be on the same kind of level with them in terms of how you can be reached on different social networks, that they may expect a reply from you on their comments and so on. People who follow artists, they still want to get some insights into this life mm-hmm. of a musician. So even if you feel really tired and you've got a plane in which is delayed for 6 hours, and you're sitting somewhere and you absolutely hate social media and everything related to music because you just feel terrible because you didn't sleep for two nights, for example, and something like that, you can post a funny or maybe not very funny but related comment on Twitter or Facebook or whatever with something related to this experience. It will sound so rock and roll and so cool that people will love it. So even when you are not really feeling it, at the moments when you're not feeling it, you most probably should consider pulling your iPhone or Android phone or whatever and just doing something. Because a backstage photo is great. A photo of a crowd from the stage is great. A photo from a studio is great. Oh, not necessarily a photo, obviously. So anything that where you share the process of the creation of music, moreover that you increase the value of your creation in the future. If you constantly post photos from this cool studio that you used to record a new song, in the future people will be, who saw these photos, they will be more interested in listening to it because they've seen what you came through to create it. And so sharing some experience like that is really good. And I will try to be quicker here. Some other ideas randomly. Memes, so mm-hmm. any internet culture pop culture themes and trendy just discussions around just, I mean, anything trendy, basically. If, when people discuss some social events or there are some jokes or memes going around, you can tap into these, hijack these internet culture themes and try to use them somehow to create your own content around them. You can post something personal from time to time, family photos, I don't know, just something from your daily life not related to music. This proves to be extremely effective. So usually a lot of artists get the most likes on a selfie, for example, mm-hmm. like, I don't know, or just a photo of their cat. Or it's actually my problem. I post too much cat, I guess, on my Instagram, too many cat photos, but I just love it. Anyway, so doing things like that can be effective. And of course, asking for some feedback. So there are different types of posts that drive comments and discussions. So asking questions, and you can also try to promote someone else's work. So it's also good even when you've got someone who you want to try to promote. It's not that good for engagement, actually, but it's good to keep in mind as a different kind of content that you should be using. So it's not, it shouldn't be just about you as an artist. You can share a new release of a fellow artist in the same genre who you know ideally, or who you want to make friends with, for example. And yeah, so things like that. Definitely a lot of other types of content that you can be sharing, but the ones that I mentioned, I think, are just the main ones to keep in mind and start with, let's say.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Andrew, you have told us so many great things related to fan engagement. So you kind of talked about how to get started, like what to think about. You gave out some tips on kind of fan engagement, so how to, you know, interact with your fan base on a regular basis. You mentioned a few tools that can help musicians setting up their promotion strategy on social media and how to put it on autopilot. You talked about ways to boost the fan engagement offline, so how to, you know, promote yourself at your gigs and how to connect the dots between the offline and online world. So, for example, you mentioned a couple of ways musicians can use to lead people into signing to their newsletter. And then you talked about different types of content that you have seen that works very well in terms of boosting the engagement of the fan base. And obviously, to wrap up this episode, I want to talk quickly again about Fan Engagement Faculty, that the new edition is going to launch in February. Am I correct?
Yeah, absolutely. It's so. And we are planning to the second half of February as the launch date for the second issue of the course.
Okay, that's great. So guys, again, you find the links to everything Andrew and I talked about in the show notes, but the link of the Fan Engagement Faculty, so of Andrew's course, you can go to thejetspotlight.com/engagement and you will be redirected to the course page where you can sign up for the course, and which starts now in a few weeks in February. And again, as Andrew said, it's a free course and it's an email-based course, which means that you get the content of the course delivered to your email that you can then access at your own time and at your own pace. So it's a great tool. And Andrew, I want to thank you once again for being here on the podcast, telling us more about Fan Engagement Faculty, fan engagement, and for the great things you do for the music community. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been a blast to be here. So thanks a lot. And I hope that what we do online will be helpful to artists. And just one little note about this course. It's really mm-hmm. free. There is no cage, because I get this question asked all the time, like, how are you going to make money on us? Like, this course directly is not monetized. It's really free. So I make it clear how I make money in the music industry, but it's not through this course. So just a little
All right. No, yeah, it's good. It's good that you made kind of this disclaimer, because also some of the listeners might have been thinking the same. And guys, one last thing. If you're on Twitter, make sure to look for Matter Andrew, which is Andrew's profile on Twitter, again, at Matter Andrew, and connect with him, because he has more great things to to talk about and more tips to share also on his Twitter page. So Andrew, again, thank you so very much.
Thank you a lot for having me here.
Alrighty, we are back. Andrew, thank you so much for your great contribution to the Jazz Spotlight podcast, for the great things you do for the music community with Dotted Music, your podcast, Fan Engagement Faculty, and all the great things you do day in, day out. Thanks again, man, and have a great weekend. All right, guys. So in this episode, you heard about how you can engage your fan base, how you can grow your fan base, some tips, some tools you can use to do that. And next week, it's another week that really focuses on the promotion aspect of your career. I think that next week, those two episodes are episodes that in a way are really gonna shape your 2015. Because we're going to talk about two critical aspects of your music promotion strategy. On Tuesday, we're going to talk about YouTube. So we're going to talk more about how to run a YouTube channel, you know, how to get started with it, what to think about when you start a YouTube channel, and how to monetize with YouTube. So how you can turn YouTube into an income stream that helps you, you know, get a little bit more money at the end of the month. So on Tuesday, we're going to talk about that. And on Thursday, we're going to talk about electronic press kits. So we're going to talk about, you know, what are electronic press kits? Why do you need one? What are the features of a great electronic press kit? Some mistakes musicians make when it comes to crafting their EPKs and dealing with the PR aspect of their career. So next week is going to be a pretty big thing for the Jazz Spotlight podcast. I can't wait to bring you those two incredible episodes. I'm Yanni Lunga, and yep, you've listened to the Jazz Spotlight podcast. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great weekend.